And I do hope I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Very good, very good. So we started with the song Shana Tova, and that's the theme of our discussion today.
Yes, I guess so. Sure, why not? Rosh Hashanah is in less than a couple of days. But we have Rosh Hashanah in 4 days, 5 days.
Yeah, Monday. So yeah. Sunday, sorry.
Sunday night, so it's really, really coming close. I hope everyone is staying dry with this wonderful rain that we have outside. But it's interesting, you know, there's a lot of different laws and customs that go into Rosh Hashanah and different reasonings. And, you know, people think that there are certain things that we do and we need to do them because this is the custom or the law that is brought down. But these are really only customs and laws. They aren't necessarily a halacha, definitive code or Jewish law that tells you that you have to do this, have to do that. So, you know, if things you can't get or you can't do, as we're going to discuss soon, you're still going to have Rosh Hashanah. But people shouldn't specifically worry about that. Obviously, we know that Rosh Hashanah is the day of the first day of the year, which is interestingly enough, the first day of the year is not really Rosh Hashanah if you look at the
calendar.
Because we celebrate Rosh Hashanah on the sixth day of creation when man was created, not on the first day.
Yeah.
Which is in a whole interesting topic in itself, which sort of really gives us a lesson. And a goal that we have to sort of set in our lives is in the concept and the idea of what are we doing in this world and how can I change this world? Obviously, we are important enough, different than other creations that have been created in the world prior to us, but we are important enough and probably the most important to be able to have an effect on the world, on people, on creatures, on creations, to make things good. For them, for us, and for the world as a whole. So it's a very big load that we have upon us to be able to do. But obviously, it's the birthday of the universe when God created Adam and Eve. And it's interesting because Rosh Hashanah has really got other different names to it as well, not just Rosh Hashanah. You know, we know it as Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. But there's other names. For example, is the name of Yom Teruah,
yeah,
which is the day of shofar blowing, because we blow the shofar many times throughout Rosh Hashanah. And then there is something which is called in our prayers we often call it Yom HaZikaron, day of remembrance, Yom HaDin, day of judgment. This is the day when God recalls all of his creations and determines their fate and the year ahead. So there's many other names which have many, many symbolic reasons to it, as well as, you know, most of the time people were going to sit in shul and synagogue here and there, and we're going to listen to speeches from the rabbi. We're going to try and pray however we're going to pray, in Hebrew and English and Russian, whatever it may be. But it's something that, how are we going to connect to it? Now, obviously, you know, we hear the shofar, which is the main component of Rosh Hashanah. And one of the reasons we hear the shofar is because the shofar recalls the binding of Isaac. You know, when Abraham had to go and sacrifice his son in the ultimate tenth test that Abraham was given. And he was supposed to sacrifice his son, and he was going to do it. And God sent an angel down when he was on top of the mountain about to sacrifice. And he says, stop, don't do that. He says, what do you mean? That's what God wants me to do. I have to do it. He said, no. He said, let me at least do a little cut, something. He said, absolutely not. You see, there's a ram in the bushes there. Go and take that. One of the reasons why we have it so far.
Yeah.
For that. It's interesting. A lot of people don't know. You know, when the ram was placed there, when God created the world, knowing that this was going to happen. Anyway, that was a little bit of a side note. So we start the Yom Tov, the holiday, with lighting of the candles, the Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Tov candles by the women, and they make the two blessings. And there's a bunch of different symbolic foods that we eat and that we pray, and we say certain prayers for through Rosh Hashanah for a sweet year. One of the things that is commonly known, that everyone knows, is that we dip the apple in the honey. And people know the reason, that you want to have a sweet year. But there's another reason as well, which a lot of people do not know, is a little bit of a deeper meaning, that the apple really symbolizes Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Which, according to the Medrash, according to interpretation, had the scent of an apple orchard. And in Kabbalah it's called the Holy Apple Orchard. Now obviously this was before Adam sinned and he was taken away from it, so on and so forth. But before that, that was called the Holy Apple Orchard. So to have some connection to the first thing that was created in the world, you have the Garden of Eden. So we dip the apple, representing that, in the honey for a sweet year. We then also then have round chalot, round chalas, round bread, that we have for Rosh Hashanah. Normally we have the braided, the long ones, but here we have the round ones. And that's the reason, which symbolizes the cycle of life. Now, all right, so you have that, you dip the challah, you dip the bread in the honey, everything, whatever you can, dip in honey. You want to dip in honey. You want to make sure that you're guaranteed to be able to have a sweet year. And we say a special prayer when we dip the apple in the honey, where we say, hear us, son, that God should give us a shana tova, mitzvah, a healthy, sweet new year. A lot of people then have the custom to have a head of a fish or a head of a lamb, which if you're a Sephardi, that's what you're going to have. But be Ashkenazi, we're okay with having the head of the fish. And the reason why we have the head of the fish,
we want to be the head and not the tail.
Correct. And we say that in a hirasan, in a special blessing prayer, that we want to be the head and we don't want to be the tail. In other words, everything in life, whether it be in our business, in our friendships, in our marriage, so on and so forth, we always want to be ahead of things. We don't want to be the tail. We, as well, the second night of Rosh Hashanah, we eat a new fruit, something that we haven't eaten in at least 30 days. So any fruit that you haven't eaten in 30 days, we should have it by the table of the second Seder, because then that gives us the opportunity, A, to have something new in Rosh Hashanah, and B, to be able to make the special blessing of Shehechiyanu. And so that's what we do this second night. Now, we also, as much as we can, limit on Rosh Hashanah the eating of nuts. And the reason for that is because the Hebrew word for nut is egoz. And egoz, in general, there's every letter in the Jewish alphabet has numerical values.
Yeah.
So, for example, Aleph, A is 1, Bet is 2, until you get to Yud, which is 10. And from Yud, it starts to jump. Chaf is 20, 30,
in
40.
Yeah. And then in hundreds.
Yeah. So, we go to 400. Now, if you go and look at the numerical value of egoz, is 17. Aleph, Gimel, Vav, Zion equals 17.
Yeah.
It's the same numerical value as Chet, Sin.
Yeah.
Which is 17 as well. 8 plus 9.
Plus 1. Yeah.
So you have Chet. So we don't want to associate ourselves with sin. And obviously, it's not a halakha, it's not a must law. It's a custom. If people do not have nuts on Rosh Hashanah, as well as we try to avoid as much as we can sour food. Anything that is very sour, lemon, whatever it may be, we try not to have. So I get a lot of questions a lot of times, what about vinegar? You know, vinegar is sour, but so many different salads require vinegar in the dressing. So does that mean that we cannot have any vinegar? No. You can have the vinegar. It just should be, put a little bit less, but it should be that the vinegar is not the overpowering taste of the actual dressing. There's a lot of these types of customs that we do. Then, obviously, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we then go to Tashlich, which is, we go to a body of water, an ocean, a river, a pond, etc. But it has to be some body of water that has fish in it. So it cannot just be, let me go to my swimming pool, there's no fish in it, or my bathtub, and fill it up with water. It has to have fish in it. And the reason for this is we cast symbolically, we cast away our sins. And why do we do it in the river? Why do we do it where the fish is? Because people that know science, people that know the animals, fish never close their eyes, even underwater. They're always open. And we ask God that he should constantly have his eyes open upon us. He should never close them. He should never close his eyes against us. And that's one of the reasons that we go to Tashlich and we throw away our thing. Now, obviously, the night dinners, we have plenty of dinners. Everyone has different customs, whether you be having brisket or turkey or chicken or fish, whatever it may be. These are not required things that you have to have. You have to have a meal. Well, we decide to make a meal, that's a different story. But it's a meal that families do, and everyone does together, which I encourage. It's a very important time for everyone to get together. And then obviously the main mitzvah, no one should forget, is the mitzvah of shofar. So
to hear the shofar.
Yeah, go to, there's many places you can go to hear the shofar. You can go to the Shaar Tzedek, you can go to the Shaar, you can go to Temple Beth El. There's no excuse why no one should be able to hear the shofar, especially on Rosh Hashanah. Go hear the shofar a little bit, go when you want, go, come when you want, and at least you'll fulfill that mitzvah of shofar. So that is Rosh Hashanah in a nutshell. I want to wish everyone a Shana Tova, a healthy, happy, sweet New Year. And as well as, you know, the Jewish community as a whole, all over the world, is mourning the loss of a great person, of Shimon Peres.
Great leader.
A great leader, a great visionary, a great founder.
A man of peace.
A man of everything.
Yeah.
That this year should be a year of peace, happiness, health, and we should know of no more sorrow and only happiness from this coming year.
God willing.
Yes.
Thank you. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and happy and kosher Rosh Hashanah.
You too. Shana Tova Mutuka. Healthy year.
Yeah.
And I look forward to talking next week, which we'll probably talk about Yom Kippur.
Same here. Thank you again.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.